on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light's switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
27 to 11, we're going to find out what's been happening in the greyhound world. A lot happening around Whitty Park, I know that. And John Brash joins me. Morning, John.
Sean, good morning to you and good morning, everyone. Yes, a big weekend of greyhound racing at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. We had the first Group 1 of the year for Sydney Town, and the race was full of excitement. And the favourite, unfortunately, Poke the Bear, missed the start from box number 8. And we might take a listen back to the Group 1 Paws of Thunder final and find out how Tim Newbolt saw it unfold. With a Sid Swain greyhound getting the money.
Racing, Poke the Bear, Dwelt Bucks Future began brilliantly. He's charging over. He'll roll to the early lead. Over Nangar Jack, there's one down and out. Caitlin Keeping into the back. Bucks Future, a long leader. Over going to second, Cash Point, the inside Nangar Jack. Then Miss Linda Miro, Poke the Bear. They'll follow by All on Amy and Federal Lily. Bucks Future by 4. Cash Point is eating into the margin. Bucks Future, the leader. Cash Point coming. Bucks Future gripping on, and he won the Paws of Thunder. Bucks Future too good. Beat Cash Point. They'll followed in by Miss Blender Mirror on Poke the Bear, followed by All on Amy. They're followed up by Nigar Jack.
Bucks Future for Sid Swain was able to lead all the way from box number 7 to take out the Group 1 Paws of Thunder final and $75,000 winner check in 29.80, staving off the late challenge of the Anthony Azzopardi trained Cash Point. And Miss Splendor Miro for Dave Geale in third position. Poke the Bear, as you heard in the call by Tim, missed the start from box number 8 and had to do all the work to get home in to run fourth. So Bucks Future for Sid Swain. I think we've got Siddy coming online to join us this morning. Sid, good morning to you.
Good morning, mate.
Sid, congratulations on the win. A very much a family affair with the win there of Bucks Future on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was a special occasion on Saturday night. My son purchased Buck's Future from champion breeder Dave Pringle when he was only a youngster for Bobby Jones, who owns racehorses. And Bobby Jones first ventured into the ground when Dean purchased Watch to Watch. And Dean won the, I think it was the Group 2 Spring Stakes with Watch to Watch when he ran down Uphill Jill. So that was Bob's first entry in the ground racing. And then he purchased his younger brother, Bucks Future. And Bucks Future sort of, he's always been a fantastic dog and he's been a bit underrated. And we expect him to go really good in the Paws of Thunder. And when he won it was unbelievable, you know what I mean? I took over the train and the Bucks in September and I trained him for Dean and Bobby and Dean's wife, Danielle. And there was tears everywhere after the race, it's been a tough 6 months leading into that race. And I was that excited with Buck's Future, but after the run I was a bit worried because coming to the turn I thought, geez, this dog coming home fast is Anthony, and Buck's Future, like Buck's a really strong finisher, you know what I mean, mate? You there?
Yes, I am, yep.
Oh, yeah, he's really a strong finisher, and in his semi-final, he ran a flying 5.39 for his first section, and he always runs home strong at Wenny. He's only had 30 starts for 8 wins and 7 seconds here. He's run...
Yeah, I was going to say he ran second to Poke the Bear in the semi-final, and you're able to qualify as the fastest second, and Poke the Bear's run 29.58 in scoring, and you've been beaten a half length in the semi. I think a lot of people forgot about that on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, he ran home in 11.68, which he can do, but it took Poke the Bear. He's the best dog in Australia to beat him, so I wasn't disappointed. Sections are very important. He's run home. He's a very strong dog. You know, and I was worried on Saturday. You know, when he ran home in 11.98, right? Oh, he's won it. But I was a bit worried. But when I got him home, I soon found out why he didn't. I'm not making excuses, but I mean, coming to the turn, he was going beautiful. And when I got him home, he had his back left pad. He taken the skin off his pad. And what he's done is he's never struck his leg before the dog. He's always been a clean galloping dog. And he struck his inside leg and he had a little fluid in it. That would have been where he sort of got off when he probably put his foot down and it took his pad off. He's probably whacked his leg, but he's kept himself together and got home. So it was a really big run, you know what I mean?
An outstanding performance where he showed that early speed on Saturday night and come out
that's
in 5.43.
He didn't get tired. That was the point. I thought, what's going on, you know? Anyway, you know, when he won the consolation of the Gosford Cup, and he's run 29.16, he's run home 2/10 quicker than the cup winner itself. You know, he's a very strong dog. So I'm going to sort of woof him down to the Meadows next Saturday week and give him a run down there in hope that he might be able to impress the judges to give him a run in the Temley before the Australian Cup. You know, he's the type of dog that, you know, he can do it at both ends. He sort of doesn't have to lead to win. He can come from behind, but... he's won a Group 1 race now, so I don't think there's too many dogs in New South Wales that have won a Group 1 race that can come under consideration for that type of race.
That's what I was going to say. You've impressed the judges, I think, with the win on Saturday night. I don't think he can do much more.
Well, you know, that's what I'm saying. He's done it. You know, I mean, it would have been criminal. Would have been criminal if there had been eight each of the Paws of Thunder and he would have missed out. You know, like if there were seven, you know what I'm saying? Because his times, like draw and poke the bear and run a second and he got into the final, you know. He weren't lucky to get into the final.
Actually, say he's been very underrated. He's had the 32 starts now for 10 wins, 8 seconds and 4 thirds. Not a lot of greyhounds sort of can boast that sort of record.
No, and they're all at Wentworth Park. I mean, he's had the wins at Wentworth Park and, you know, Dean gave him a 600 early in the piece and he won that at Dapto. He's a strong dog. He's a strong dog and the, you know, it was a real gutsy performance on Saturday night when you consider the fact that he's took his pad off, you know. But anyway, I'm going to go.
Well, there was another race series that you were unlucky not to make the final of. Looking back at his record back in October last year, he did run second in the Million Dollar Chase semi, just missing out on a berth in the final there.
Yeah, he was in the Million Dollar Consolation. You know, and he drew box 8 and he missed a kick that night, and he got forced off the track. So I mean, really, anyway, that's the way it goes. But I mean, he's been competing. Being competitive, if you look at the, I think it was the Christmas Gift that Modus Operandi won, he only went down a half a length, by a half in the semis to get into the final. And I think the dog that won the semi won the final. So he's been hearing that, but as I said, he's been flying under the radar a bit. So I'm going to take the punt and I'm going to take him down and give him a start there, not trolling. I mean, most of them just go down and trial before the people and then they get out of trouble if they trial good. The dogs normally trial good, but I'm mainly concentrating on the Australian Cup, so I want to go down and give him a run under race conditions.
Well, that sounds like a very good plan. Yep, yeah, it's nothing like putting him straight into a race and putting him under the judge's panel eye. And if he performs well there, I'm sure he's a short of a start in the Temley.
I'd say if he goes down there and gets the 5 and gets checked, they'll rule him straight out. But, I mean, the point I'm getting at is that he needs to go down to the Meadows and get kennelled under their conditions. He needs to come out and have the stir-up under their conditions. Their old stir-up system down there is different than ours. Our stir-up, we give them straight to the boxes, and their stir-up is delayed. So we need to do that. Their boxes are different. The grill in the front's different. So he needs to go down there and put his rug on under race conditions and have a race. Now, if he gets beat, I'm gone. They'll get rid of me. But if he wins, boom, I'm in. So that's what I'm doing.
That sounds like a great plan, Sid. You've been in greyhound racing for a very, very long time, Sid, and you had a lot of success going back a number of years ago with Cyrus the Virus, and I'm sure it gave you great satisfaction to win this Group 1 on Saturday night with Buck's Future.
Well, it did, you know, like Cyrus, I took him down for the Australian Cup and done the same plan, took him down 2 weeks before and give him a start. He finished fourth. He didn't get a run in the... I don't even know where they had the Tamley then. I don't know, they might have. But anyway, he finished fourth and then he went down the Australian Cup. He won his heat in the fastest time of the 8 heats and then started favourite in the final. But that's a long story, you know. The dog always pulled up injured, but that didn't matter anyway, so... It was just a great thing. And, he was...
Well, it's certainly a great partnership you are forming with the owner himself, and it's great to see that Robert's reaping the rewards coming from the thoroughbred industry and enjoying the run of the life in the greyhound industry now with a Group 1 success.
Yeah, well, he shouted the bar on Saturday night down the river tonight as well.
Oh, did he?
He didn't come out. He said, no, he said, you stop home and watch it on TV.
Oh, well, that's great that he was able to let other people enjoy the win as well.
Oh, no, he went down and watched the watch one, but he likes to be down there at the club and take it all in, you know. He loves it. He can't believe what it's like, you know. See, Greyhound racing, the owners become real close to the trainers, and it's a sort of a thing with greyhounds that we have. It's all right to own a horse, but you're sort of distant. And the greyhounds are racing all the time, you know, and it's a different kettle of fish. You know, they he can't believe how good it is, you know what I mean? But of course he's had a good start to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's hopefully going to continue when you go to the Meadows in a few weeks' time. And, Sydney, we thank you for joining us this morning again. Congratulations on the Group 1 there on Saturday night.
One more thing before you go. He's only turned three after the Easter egg, so that'll be a big go for him, the Easter egg.
I'm sure it will be. So we wish you the best of luck in... We wish you the best of luck in trying to make it another one in a few months' time.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Good on you.
That's Sid Swain, the trainer of Buck's Future, who took out the Group 1 Paws of Thunder at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. One of the other features at Wentworth Park on Saturday night was race number 7 on the program. It was the Summer Distance Plate Final at Group 2 level. Of course, we had the news earlier in the week that Poco Dorado was going to be an early scratching from the Summer Distance Plate. Again, that another greyhound that's ripped the back inside of the pad, and that was what happened to Poco Dorado, and just hadn't recovered in time to run in the final. So it ended up a field of 5 with... Poco Dorado's litter mates, Blue Moon Rising and Vinoce Nero, going around, but it was a Queensland victory, and let's listen to the Summer Distance Plate final.
Racing, Vinoce Nero, Bacali, both began quickly. Bacali is charging across. He's trying to get over. He bumped with Blue Moon Rising, who went up underneath him, and Blue Moon Rising is in control by 3. Vinoce Nero working to second, then Book of Luck followed by Double G, and Bacali found trouble. He's relegated to the rear. They're working into the back. Blue Moon Rising by 3 over Vinoce Nero. They were followed up by the inside Double G, the outer Book of Luck. 5 away to Bacali. The leader, Blue Moon Rising, off the back. Vinoce Nero grinding away. 3 to Double G running on. Blue Moon Rising, Vinoce Nero, Double G coming. Blue Moon Rising, Double G drives. Double G, the Queenslander, has arrived in time and beaten Blue Moon Rising. Vinoce Nero, they were followed in by Book of Luck and Bacali at the tail end.
To my great delight, the Queenslander, I can say, for Double G, for Selena Zam at 42-33, getting up to beat Blue Moon Rising by a half length on the line, with Vinoce Nero in third position, Book of Luck fourth, and Bacali in fifth position. So Double G for Selena Zam. Good to see Double G back in form again. He started off around about 6 months ago, just before the winter of 2018, and he broke the track record at Casino one day, over the 600 metre there, and he had great success in the State of Origin Stayers race at Albion Park, running 41.62. He was a finalist in the National Distance Championship, took out the 2018 Chairman's Cup, and now he takes out the 2019 Group 2 Summer Distance Plate. He did have a few injury worries there late last year, but it's great to see Selena and Group 1 Mick Zammit getting him back into great form again, taking out that Summer Distance Plate on Saturday night. Another one of the features on Saturday night was the consolation of the Paws of Thunder and honouring our good mate Jeff Collison. And this was the Collison, race number 6 on the program.
Racing, Drink Schooners began brilliantly, Smooth Blend away in a hurry. Drink Schooners is going to stride to the lead and Snuck Away working to the back. My Mate Fox is going to second, followed up by Smooth Blend and Sunbird Opal, and then Ancient Secret Cosmic Bonus. They'll follow it up by Another Grey who is near the rear of the field. Drink Schooners, the pilot by 4 over My Mate Fox, Smooth Blend and Sunbird Opal. Drink Schooners in front, he'll find the line tonight. Drink Schooners goes all the way and won the Collison. Beat My Mate Fox. Third, Sunburn Opal ahead of Smooth Blend, and then Ancient Secret, followed up by
Greyhound that's been very, very consistent over a number of weeks now. Drink Schooners for Michelle Sultana, scoring in 30 and 10, defeating My Mate Fox and Sunburn Opal. So congratulations to Michelle with the winner there of Drink Schooners in the Collison of 2019. Well, of course, all eyes head to Wentworth Park next Friday night. Yes, Friday night next week. And we have the heats of the National Derby and National Futurity. And, of course, nominations for those close tomorrow. The Derby, of course, is for the best 40-mile greyhounds, whelped on or after the 1st of October 2016. And likewise, the Futurity for the best 40 female greyhounds, the bitches, whelped on or after October 1, 2016. And noms for the National Derby and National Futurity heats close tomorrow. Take note, folks, they close tomorrow. And Wentworth Park will race Friday night this week, the 25th of January. And sure to be great racing there on Friday night. Last Wednesday night at Wentworth Park, we saw Charlie Casey for Peter Carr. Carr had quick time in winning the maiden final there in 29.89, scoring by 5 1/4 lengths. Sits by Kinloch Bray out of L. Casey. Won the week before in 29.87 the heat and came out and won the final in 29.89. It's producing some good maiden greyhounds over the last few weeks, this maiden series. And there's another one, case in point, Charlie Casey, taking out that feature at Wentworth Park on last Wednesday night. Of course, we had the news on Thursday that Greyhound Racing New South Wales made the announcement that all racing and trialling activity at the Lismore track would be suspended pending the completion of an assessment of track safety by an independent panel of experts. And I understand that panel of experts went up to the Northern Rivers and assessed the track at Lismore on Friday, and their decision will be pending. It's basically due to a high level of injury and fatalities at the track over the last 12 months. So that independent track experts went up to Lismore on Friday, and they will be discussing what they found there at the Lismore track and the future of the Lismore track going forward sometime this week, and we'll have more news coming up on the program next Monday. To that effect, Greyhound Racing New South Wales have also announced launched a travel rebate scheme to support industry participants affected by the temporary track closures. Under the scheme, Greyhound Racing New South Wales will provide a rebate of $80 per week per participants for travelling costs incurred by eligible owners and trainers as a result of designed track closures. The amount of the rebate is calculated on the distance between the participant's ordinary track and the alternative track that they are travelling to for trialling. So that's a rebate of up to $80 per week for travel expenses to trial your greyhounds. A note that Richmond on Wednesday, due to expected heat, will be a nighttime meeting. Wednesday the 23rd of January, instead of a twilight, will now be run Wednesday night. That's the Richmond meeting on Wednesday. Well, going back last Tuesday in Tasmania, we had the Group 3 Dowling McCarthy Tyres Devonport Cup Final. And we might take a listen back to the running of the Devonport Cup of 2019.
They're off. And beginning fast was Hello Nugget, is going to lead them all early. Corey Cody right through on the fence, just browsing out three wide, four wide. Emerald Rainbow Robbie getting Britton around them as Corey guys. Cody took over. Okay. Got two clear. Hello Nugget second. Emerald Rainbow third. Then we've got Zipping Blaze, Leonard's Boy. Wide around the track was Just Browsing and Sacred Shadow, but Corey Cody kicked clear. Corey Cody out by two lengths and it's going to win the cup. Corey Cody first, second. Hello Nugget. Leonard's Boy flew for third. Big run then. Sacred Shadow fourth. Then we had Zipping Blaze, Emerald Rainbow, just browsing down
the wall. It was a great win by the Queensland-owned Corey Cody for owner Claude Dacey, 84-year-old Claude Dacey, taking out the $25,000 winning cheque and trained currently in Tasmania by Eric Heldon. And Claude Dacey and Eric Heldon shared in the win there. And Claude has decided to leave Corey Cody down in Tasmania to have a go at the Launceston Cup coming up in a couple of weeks' time. And Corey Cody will be engaged down there tonight. And he had a good 2018 as well, won the Young Guns at Albion Park, took out the Michael Miller up the straight at Capellebar, won the 2018 Ipswich Derby, ran second in the Tassie Gold Cup and was also a finalist in the Gold Coast Cup and the Grafton Sprinter. So he's a very, very talented young chaser, is Corey Cody. This afternoon at Bathurst, we run the two heats of the Orange Cup there over the 520 metres, brought together some strong fields there. So two heats over the 520 metres, races 7 and 8 on the program at Orange. And I notice at Gosford tomorrow night, the very talented Lochinvar Dynamo, who set the track alight at the Gardens a couple of starts ago, is engaged there in a 1-2 win, race 3, number 6, Lochinvar Dynamo. So a greyhound to watch out for. Well, a greyhound that will be returning to the track hopefully shortly is Batman, referred to by his followers, and that is Tornado Tears. And we saw him come out in a trial at Sandown Park last Wednesday and his preparation to return to the racetrack after injury. And I think we might have his trainer, Robbie Britton, coming online to join us this morning. Robbie, good morning to you.
Yeah, g'day, John.
Robbie, we saw Tornado Tears in that trial at Sandown last Wednesday. Tell us how he went and how he's pulled up since.
Yeah, the main part, he's pulled up well, and that's all I've worried about. He's gone quicker. We trialled him out of the 700 boxes and gave him a lap and a quarter, which he trialled around about 30-60, and I think he's gone 30-28 in a race there. So he's a little bit off the mark, but in saying that, he pulled up really well. That's the main thing. So we'll be heading for another trial somewhere this week, and then we start look for a race.
Rob, we haven't seen him since September when he won the Top Gat Video Cup, and you might like to just refresh our memory on the injury that he did sustain.
Yeah, in that run, even though he won it, he came out of the kennels lame and he'd cracked a hock. So basically, I decided that I was going to give him nearly double the time off that I would normally give off on a dog. I wanted to make sure it was 100%, and I'm fairly confident we're on the right track because he's now had three runs back and pulled up really well. So I just think it's a matter of getting the fitness into him now. I'd like to think the injury's behind us.
So what was the course of the injury and then the recovery? What did you have to do with him, say, in the last 6 months?
Really, John, it was really a basic case of rest. And it's like the bone had to knit and had to heal. And as I've said to everyone, and I do this with all my dogs that do bone injuries, is you take advice from the vet and then give them that time again. Because you don't want to miss by 2 weeks and bring them back too early. So he basically was told to give him 10 weeks off. Well, I decided to give him longer. He'll end up having about 4 months off by the time he gets back to the track. But as I say, time heals everything, and I believe that's the case with this injury.
So you've said you've given him 3 runs back, and has he got a little fitter you see every time?
Yeah, look, he's now within a kilo or 0.8 of his race weight over the distance. So, and that's my plan. I want to get him back cherry ripe within 2 to 3 weeks and race over the distance. I'm not keen at all on running in sprints unless I have to. I just don't want to get into a situation where he's going to meet the elite sprinters and get knocked around. So I'd like to get to the stage where I can bring him back 100% over 700.
So you say 2 to 3 weeks. Is there anything, a race that you're looking at this stage that you've got mapped out, or is it a case of...
Yeah, look, John, the Zoom Top is on the radar, which is around about 3 weeks, I think. So that will certainly be our plan to get to that race. Whether there's a race before that, I'm just not 100% certain yet, but that's certainly the plan at the moment, and fingers crossed, it all going well, we'll line up in that.
Gee, I wonder if he hasn't raced recently, whether he'd come under the eye of the judges panel.
Yeah, absolutely. That was gone through my mind as well, where they may leave him out simply because he hasn't raced. But I simply got to take the chance on that because I'm not going to bring him back before he's ready. And as I said, all his trials are public, so anyone wants to see it will see it. So, as I said, I think his next trial will probably be over 600. It'll be either Sandown or the Meadows. So we'll know how well he's going by the time he gets to the selection committee.
So you're just gradually building him up to that staying journey, and hopefully he'll be right by the time the Zoom top looms around.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan. So as I say, if he was a lower grade dog, you could bring him back through sprints because they're less... there's less class, but for him to come through the sprints, he would be meeting the elite dogs down here, and I see that as not the best option.
Robbie, apart from the injury late 2018, he absolutely had a great year in 2018, and taking out, of course, the Nationals, he set track records around the land, including at Albion Park in Brisbane. He won the Gold Cup up there, and he certainly showed what he was made of throughout 2018.
He certainly did. Look, he's a high-class dog, and that's why you take your time, you get it right, because if you can get another 6 months racing at the elite level, he's a dog that could win two or three more group races. So, as I say, that's why I've said, OK, even if we miss a number of races, it doesn't matter as long as we get the dog 100% right again. And as I said, if we can get half the wins we got in 2018, well, I'd be very happy.
Robbie, thanks for joining us this morning, and we've missed him on the racetrack, and he's got a lot of followers, and I'm sure you won't bring him back unless he's 100% in top order, and we look forward to that preparation coming to fruition with the Zoom top in a few weeks' time, and I think you might have just scared a couple of trainers away.
Oh, well, they've had a good go for about the last 4 months, so it's time to get him back, I reckon. Thanks, John.
Rob, thanks for joining us, and good luck with him, and we'll keep in contact to how his preparation's going in the next few weeks. That's Robbie Britton joining us this morning with an update on Tornado Tears. Great to see he's had three trials back, and he'll be being set, hopefully, for the Zoom top as his return run. Wouldn't be a great thing to see him return to victory in the Zoom top coming up in a few weeks' time. At the Meadows on Saturday night, it was good to see Sinachi break through for a win there, dropping back to a fifth grade series, beating Southern Ripple in 29.76, coming off the runner-up run behind Baruga Bread in the Group 1 Silver Chief a fortnight before in 29.87. So Sinachi's now had 7 starts for 4 wins, 2 seconds, 1 third. So a very, very talented chaser is Sinachi. It's going to probably have a great 2019 as well. Now, the Queensland Greyhound industry announced the 4 finalists for the Queensland Greyhound of the Year. The judging panel met last Wednesday, and in alphabetical order, it's Champagne Sally for Ray Berman, Cosmic Bonus for Evelyn Harris, Del Rey for Tom Zavellas, and the Victorian, Hasten Slowly for Angela Langton. Some might ask why. How does Hasten Slowly get a go in the Queensland Greyhound of the Year? And the condition is that you must have 6 or more starts on a Queensland track, and Hasten Slowly was able to do that, winning the Flying Amy Classic, of course won the Brisbane Cup, and was placed in a couple of other races, including the Winter Cup at Albion Park during the winter. And that's the reason why Hasten Slowly is one of the 4 finalists in the Queensland Greyhound of the Year. So Champagne Sally, Cosmic Bonus, Del Rey, and Hasten Slowly, and that announcement will be made on Friday night, the 8th of March. Coming up at Albion Park in Brisbane on Thursday night is the Group 3 Box 1 Photography Queensland Cup Final, and we saw a Victorian Slingshot Hammer run the fastest time there on Thursday night, and it ran a blistering 34.90. The other heat winner was First Fire in around 35.40. So a lot of difference in between the two times there. And the box draw for the final is 1 Galantippy Gold, 2 Del Rey, 3 First Fire, 4 Caribbean Red, 5 Sins Magic, 6 Slingshot Hammer, 7 Magic Hornet, 8 Infrared Star. Reserves Big Bad Bob and Champagne Sally. Not a couple of bad reserves to have there. And as I mentioned, the Queensland Cup being sponsored by Box One Photography. And we've got the main man behind Box One Photography coming online to join us this morning, and that is Michael McAnally. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Michael, you might like to tell us a little bit about yourself. You're only a young man of 22 years of age, and you've been in the photography business basically all your life, and it's something that the family has grown up with.
Yeah, definitely born into it, John. From day one, really just wanted to be a photographer, like both my grandfather and my dad. In the thoroughbred industry, doing a lot of the country thoroughbreds here in Queensland. And just fell in love with the game pretty early.
And you've done the thoroughbreds, you've also done the harness racing. And how did you get into the greyhound side of photography?
Funnily enough, I was just working for the previous photographer there, and next minute an opportunity arose to take on the contract, and that was about 3 years ago, and ever since then we've been going great guns. It's been fantastic, and it's a great track to work at. It's the committee and the staff are fantastic to work with, and it's fantastic.
Now, how did you get into the sponsorship of these feature races?
It was just a chat one night we had with Darren and Luke. We just said, look, I'd like to put something back into the industry that gives me so much. So I said, well, you know, we worked out a plan, and they said they needed a sponsor for the Queensland Cup. And I said, well, yep, let's get onto that one. And, this is the third year now. So, it's been fantastic. So we had to do it.
Sponsoring the Group 3 Effect. Michael, what about a website if folks want to go on and have a look at some of your work there?
Yeah, it's just www.boxonephotography.com. So all the photos get published there about 25 minutes after each race. And you can go on there, order online, or give me a call or an email, and we can sort photos out all around Australia.
Michael, with you being young and a lot of current ideas, there's some shots there that people don't normally see. You normally see the standard winning post shot, but you like to be a bit adventurous and bring folks the actual footage of the race basically from start to finish. You might like to tell us some of the shots that you do use.
Yeah, definitely, John. I guess it comes back to my thoroughbred background in that, in a thoroughbred whale, everybody photographs like every bit of the race. So with the greyhounds, it was definitely a market that was missed, where you would just get the finish shot, which, it's a great shot, but there's so much, that happens in a dog race that, you know, you can get the, say, put a camera on top of the starting boxes and get them jumping out of the boxes, or, put cameras underneath the running rails and on signage boards at the winning post to create that different angle, where it's not that I love just, recreating, getting into positions where people can't see their dog normally. So it just gives you a different view on your greyhound winning, and it's fantastic that we can be allowed to do some of these angles with, Keurig stewards allowing us and the race club, obviously. But, it's been very good.
It brings the people that are buying the photographs or seeing the photographs actually into the race itself.
And it definitely does, and it makes them the poor guys have to go through the photos a couple of times to pick their favourite one, because sometimes there's so many photos from a race it's actually hard to pick their favourite one.
Michael, you haven't just photographed in Queensland. Basically, your photography has taken you all around the world at such a young age.
Yeah, I've been very lucky to get the opportunities I have. I've been photographing in America for the Breeders' Cup for a company over there, and been very lucky to have done that for the last 3 years. And been have the opportunity to go to Singapore the last 2 years. And last year Dubai, which was fantastic for the World Cup Thoroughbred Night, which was just phenomenal. It opened my eyes to how a race meeting is run, and also how photography has been. You know, how photography they all do the race shots over there, which is phenomenal. So I've been very, very lucky to get the opportunities that I have at such a very young age.
And you bring that back and incorporate that into your photography. As you say, you can never stop learning, and I'm sure that each country does it a little bit differently, and you've got all facets of that now, being able to go around the world and see how these photographers operate as well.
Yeah, exactly, John. Like, it's, you know, as I said before, it's not that I love innovating things and trying to, as I said, give the viewer a different look on the greyhound race, and it's, you know, I've been lucky enough to see how the boys do it overseas and try and bring that back here with, you know, different or same technology and get the same picture, which has been fantastic.
Well, Michael, we wish you luck with your career, and also I'm sure the club is very much thankful for your sponsorship. And we've got the Queensland Cup coming up on Thursday night. We've got Slingshot Hammer, the Victorian, the fastest heat winner at $2.10 on tab.com.au. Big Bad Bob is $3. Caribbean Red at $5. Champagne Sally at $5. Sin's Magic 6. Del Rey at $8. Magic Hornet at $8. Galantippy Gold 14. Infrared Star 16. First Fire 21. What about a tip before we let you go for the final in your race on Thursday night?
I think it's going to be hard to go past the favourite, Slingshot Hammer. It was a flew across from the outside there last week. So, you know, yeah, phenomenal to see a dog like that up here, which is good. But it'd be great to see Big Bad Bob get a start into the race. But, I don't know about that. But, yeah, definitely Slingshot Hammer, though.
So it looks as though you'll be presenting the trophy to the Mexicans to take back to Victoria.
Sadly, yes.
Michael, thanks for your time this morning, and as I said, good luck with your career going forward, and it's box1photography.com if folks want to have a look at Michael's work there. If you own a greyhound in New South Wales and it wins at Albion Park, that's the website to go to. Michael, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the time.